Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
My friend who's dropping by this week for a conversation, it's been a long time. She thought I took her off the Christmas list. I'm like, no, not at all. Alan Stewart is still on that Christmas list. She's a great commentator, political commentator over at CNN, a resident fellow at Harvard University. The Kennedy Institute of Politics. She's an Emmy award-winning journalist and a veteran senior communications advisor on a number of presidential campaigns. I wanted to sort of follow up on the discussion about the big lie in the 2020 election, the insurrection, which a lot of Republicans are unfortunately trying to whitewash, you know, calling it, oh, it was just like a tourist visit. Okay, I don't know. I grew up in D.C. I don't know what kind of tourism these members are used to, but that was never what we saw growing up. But you touched on in a number of your answers, this idea of sort of rational Republicanism, this idea of being able to reestablish these grounds on which, you know, a lot of us join the party and still try to advocate on behalf of principles and policies that we think are good for the country. I still believe, as I'm sure you do, the country is a center-right nation at the end of the day. And that explains 2020. It explains certainly a whole lot of things that we see happening right now on a number of fronts, economic, social, and otherwise. But is there momentum, in your view, for real conservatives? Because all this other stuff to me is just fake, crazy. It's, you know, the Trumpist stuff is not real conservatism. It's not based on you know, anchored principles or philosophies that we heard articulated by the likes of Buckley or others, for example. How can they begin to push back on this within the party itself? Is that possible? I mean, I get it all the time. Are you still a Republican? And I give them two answers. Yes, I am. Very much like you say, loud and proud, right? Still am.
Right.
But also because I know it pisses some people off that I still am. So, you know, because the easy thing for them is for folks like us to go away and not call out the abominations and the apostasy that we see happening inside the party. So how do you recover from that when you've got, you know, folks out here now trying to start a third way, other folks saying, turn the lights out, the party's dead, it's done. What's your take here?
My take is similar to, I think, yours and a lot of other people, is that I was a Republican long before Donald Trump came down the escalator.
Amen.
And it's going to take a lot more than him to get me to leave this party that and the policies that mean so much to me. And that is the prevailing mindset I have. And I do believe that the rational Republicans will come to the forefront because we need to win back the House and the Senate in the midterm elections. And I think that's really important. Right now, people realize that someone the other day said, you know, are we feeding the beast by having Trump, you know, and have all these meetings at the golf clubs and people come to him? Are we feeding the beast? And my take is no, we're giving him a sedative. We need him to just calm down and not get too agitated and realize, you know, we're not kicking you away. We still want you around. Calm down.
Do we really still want him around? I'll be honest with you. I don't. I think he's an abomination. I think he is an apostate to everything that I grew up believing about the party, even in the face of some of the ugly stuff in the history, the recent history of the party. I think Trump has been an avatar for a lot of that and has really given breath of fresh air to the Southern strategy, for example, and these other strategies that have bastardized Republicanism. I joined the party when I was 17. I grew up in Washington, D.C. All right. Chocolate City. Right.
And right. Right.
Look, the crap I took in high school, the day I told my friends who were the sons, I went to an all boys school, who the sons of political figures in Washington and the region, looked at me like, dude, what are you high? What are you smoking? Right. But I had a belief system tethered to that talked about, you know, those individual rights and liberties. It didn't say that there were good people who were members of the KKK. It didn't tell me that my ancestors came from a shithole country. It didn't tell me that, oh, I need to be afraid of the Mexican or the Hispanic who was in my school because they, you know, we need to build a wall to keep them out. That 17-year-old kid today, that's what the party has said to them. So I just don't think, and the perpetuation and giving him the platform to continue that for me, I don't see it's a good thing. I think we need to be excised of him. Seriously, like the worst cancer you could possibly have. Cut that shit out of your body. You need it gone. I know others disagree with me, but I just wanted to put that on the record.
No, I hear you. And if you would, you know, just come out of your shell a little bit and tell me exactly what you think, that would help the conversation. That being said, look, you know, you talk about Buckley. One of the things that I often say to my students at Harvard that are conservative students, you know, Republican students, is he would say conservatism is the politics of reality. And right. The reality is, if we kick Donald Trump to the curb, we're going to lose his base. We're going to lose those people.
Do we need
people.
That base? What is that base
tell us? Tell me how Republicans are going to win if we get rid of Trump's base.
Okay,
can I
answer that question? I'll tell you how we win.
Yep.
I became chairman of the Republican Party in the county of Prince George's County, Maryland, in 1994. Mm-hmm. I was the chairman of a party in a county that was 80% African American and almost 100% Democrat. The voter registration out of 800 some thousand citizens registered in this county at that time for Republicans was 58,000 Republicans.
Wow.
Do you know what we did between 1994 and 1998? We imposed term limits. We changed the county tax laws that protected home buyers when the newly elected county executive wanted to lift the tax cap on property owners so that they could raise property taxes here in the county. I did that with a band of maybe 30 people, activists, $7,000 worth of financing. So I made the case for what we believed in and what we stood for. The base was the people. It wasn't the party. It couldn't be the party because there was only 58. If every Republican voted to impose term limits and the Democrats didn't want it, it would not have happened. So this idea that we need this base to win elections is bullshit. It's just bullshit because where I come from, I didn't have a Trump base to gain the ground that we did here to defeat the Democrats on taxes, on term limits. I didn't have that base when we put in place, when I led the charge as Lieutenant Governor of Maryland for charter schools. So this idea, we cannot landlock ourselves to a base that is not down with what these principles are, what these policies and these values are, in my view. So I hear what you're saying, Alice, but I just have to reject it because where I come from, I've won without that base. And I don't see how all of a sudden now talking to people about their heritage and calling them names and laying out all this crazy crap and embracing the big lie is going to win me an election. How does that happen?
Well, my take on this is, how is a Republican going to win without that base? And here's my point. 74 million Americans voted for President Trump. Those people are going to, they need to, we need to keep them together. We need to keep them in support of the policies. But we also need to win back the disaffected voters that we lost from 2016. Right. And if we kick Trump to the curb or his support, there's no way the Republicans are going to win. I'm not saying, and the last.
So we don't win now. We don't win now. We win tomorrow. We don't win now, but we win tomorrow, and we win bigger and stronger tomorrow, because we're actually going to be about something that means something to the voters that we're talking to. Because what are we saying to them now? What's our policy? We don't have a platform, Alice. we rejected at our last convention. We rejected putting the platform together. The platform committee is like whatever Trump wants to do.
Well, Michael, you know this. Politics is a game of addition, not subtraction. We need to add to that 74. It sounds like you're trying to make this a game of division, like divide up, the rational Republicans and kick the others to the curb. That's my point, is that we have to keep them engaged and add to them. And we do so by shifting away from the personalities and focusing on the policies. And I like what you said about the politicization of the ruinization of this country. Right. We need to get away from that. We need to get back to the politics and the policies of the Republican Party. Look, I'll say this. I'll be the first one to say it. I say it all the time. Joe Biden makes me feel good. He is a man of empathy and compassion. And I love his message of unity and bipartisanship, right, even though he has not engaged in any bipartisanship in Washington, D.C., and we're seeing more evidence of that every day. He makes me feel so good and happy, but I hate his policies. I don't like what he's doing with paying people not to work. I don't like what they're doing with the Green New Deal. I don't like the fact that he's letting the progressive dictate a lot of what he's doing. I don't like his policies, and I would much rather have a president that I feel good about the policies, then he gives me a warm and fuzzy feeling because he's a nice guy. And that's right. I go to feel warm and fuzzy and good about my preacher at church, not about my elected official. Yeah. And I'd love to have it both ways, but if I had to choose, I would rather have a president that furthers my policies than makes me feel good.
Yeah, but the problem is we're not agreed on not you and me, but I don't think we are agreed on what that policy is. And that's what leadership requires.
Right.
And that's where the leadership matters, when the leadership helps us clarify what's in our best national interest and what's in our best local interest.
Thanks for listening to this quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Now, we'll be back with a full show soon. But in the meantime, you can go to Apple Podcasts, review us, give us 5 stars. Yes, we like the 5-star rating. Or you can listen on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. Catch you later, folks.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.